Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. This continues to be a very dramatic week in the election campaigns. You know, I thought we were kind of done for the week after West Virginia and the Edwards endorsement and the Narol dust-up and the Mississippi congressional seat, but a lot of stuff happened yesterday that we'll talk about in just a minute. I do want to thank everybody and remind you that our spring membership drive has begun, and thank everybody who donated money to the station so far. Many of you the last few days have been really, really supportive, so thank you a lot. But we've got work to do. The drive isn't over. So thanks in advance to all of you who we hope will pledge this morning. You know, we ask for full participation by our listeners through a simple once-a-year contribution to this not-for-profit radio service. You rely on WNYC for news and information and culture and community, and we rely on you to fund this non-commercial station. So we hope you'll make a tax-deductible contribution right now or sometime this morning at 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692, or you can donate online at WNYC.org. And as an extra incentive, the folks at TechServe have donated to us one MacBook Air to give away. That's the super portable new laptop from Apple, and anyone who has pledged so far is automatically entered to win, and we will close this contest at noon today, so you don't have to pledge to enter, but we hope you will. The deadline is noon at 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692, or online at WNYC.org, and thanks everyone for your support. Now, all of the following happened yesterday. President Bush compared talking to Iran with the appeasement of Hitler. John McCain reversed course from previous statements and gave a likely date that we could be out of Iraq. The date is 2013. The California Supreme Court threw gay marriage back into the political mix by declaring the state's civil union law unconstitutional. And President Bush continued to suffer fallout from his comment that he gave up golf because it would be unseemly to play during wartime. Here is the Bush clip about talking to Iran and the appeasement of Hitler, a not-so-veiled reference to Senator Barack Obama's promise to have one meeting with any head of state with no preconditions.
As Nazi tanks crossed into Poland in 1939, an American senator declared, "Lord, if I could only have talked to Hitler, all this might have been avoided." We have an obligation to call this what it is, the false comfort of appeasement, which has been repeatedly discredited by history.
So President Bush speaking yesterday, and with me now to talk about all these developments is Ben Smith, covering the campaign for Politico.com. Hi, Ben. Welcome back to WNYC. Ben, do we have you?
Yeah.
Now we got you. Now I can hear you. Hi, Ben.
Hi.
So an argument has broken out about whether the president actually was talking specifically about Obama, which he denies. Is there another possible explanation?
I mean, it's one of these strange things where you can't tell if they were incompetent or very clever. One of his advisors, I guess, came out and told the reporters traveling with him, or at least reportedly told them, immediately after he spoke that he was referring to Obama. Like 10 minutes later, Dana Perino came out, his press secretary came out and said, no, he wasn't referring to Obama. And then another advisor said maybe he was referring to Jimmy Carter. But at this point, the ship had sailed, basically.
Now, Democrats were also accusing the president of inappropriately playing electoral politics overseas. He gave this speech in Jerusalem. But I find it kind of odd that he gave that speech there, because Israel has such a long history of negotiating with enemies who have vowed to destroy it. You know, not always negotiating successfully, but Israel has negotiated with Egypt and Jordan and the PLO and has backdoor talks today, even with Hamas. So it's a funny place for the president to say that even having a conversation with an enemy is the same as Neville Chamberlain signing away part of Europe in an official treaty.
That is an interesting point. I mean, I think that that's probably because it was much more directed at listeners in the United States than in Israel. I think it was, you know, whoever you want to say he was talking about, it was about the argument that's going on in American presidential politics right now.
Yeah. And by the way, not everyone who feels strongly about appeasement seems to know the history. Here is, maybe you saw this clip.
Yeah,
this is conservative talk show host Kevin James. I hadn't heard of him before. On MSNBC with Chris Matthews last night. This is becoming an instant classic on YouTube.
Tell me what he did. His actions enabled energized, legitimized. I'm not going to continue with this interview unless you answer what that thing is. What did Chamberlain do in 39? Tell me.
Chris, it's the exact same thing. All
what
right.
What did he do? What did he do?
What? 38, 39, Chris. What year
what
do you
did he
want?
Do?
It doesn't. It's the exact same thing that happened, Chris.
What did Chamberlain?
He's talking about appeasement.
All right. What did Chamberlain do? Just tell me what he did, Kevin.
So Ben, can you say Munich Agreement? I guess he couldn't. Matthews, I think, was wrong, too. He said 1939, and I think it was 1938 where he signed a treaty that basically said, here, Adolf, here's part of Czechoslovakia.
It didn't land.
Go have fun.
That's why you're not on cable TV, Brian.
Maybe. I am on cable TV.
Oh, yeah, you are.
But not that channel. But I want to play another clip from the president's speech that I also find very curious.
Some seem to believe that we should negotiate with the terrorists and radicals as if some ingenious argument will persuade them they have been wrong all along.
And I'm amazed by that one, Ben, because he seems to say that the only thing talks are about is trying to convince somebody that they're wrong by making an argument, which kind of misses the point and certainly misses a lot of the subtleties of diplomacy, showing your strength to the other side, maybe speaking over the leader's head to the people, say, of Iran.
Which is trading stuff.
It's trading stuff. It's looking for common interests on which to build shared goals, which, you know, is hard with Ahmadinejad on a big basis, but Israel did it with Egypt. Nixon did it with China. It's not just about trying to convince someone through argument that they are an axis of evil, which is really what he said there.
Yeah, there's a huge, just kind of level of unreality to this debate that actually kind of popped up this morning because Jamie Rubin, Madeleine Albright's former spokesman, has had an op-ed in the Washington Post today. Yeah, McCain had attacked Obama on similar lines, saying how outrageous it is that he would talk to Hamas, and Jamie Rubin said, well, it's funny because I conducted an interview with McCain 2 years ago in which he said the same thing, and here's the video. So, this is very much about kind of defining Obama as weak, basically.
What did McCain say 2 years ago?
McCain said that at some point we're going to have to people say we shouldn't talk to Hamas, but at some point they're the legitimately elected government and we've got to deal with them.
Ben Smith from Politico.com on WNYC as we talk about some really interesting developments just in the last day regarding the presidential campaign. And let's move on to another Senator McCain issue. He came out yesterday with a likely date for withdrawing from Iraq, the year 2013. How much of a change is that for him to even mention that date, even though it's 5 years in the future?
It's a big change. It isn't necessarily inconsistent with what he has said, which is that, you know, we're going to have some troops there for a long time, but we're going to try to get, like, we hope to, you know, but that we're sort of on the road to peace, and we hope to have most of the troops home soon. But to put a date on it, you know, is a lot more dramatic. I think it shows how worried he is about the sort of continuing resonance of his having said that we're going to be there. He doesn't care if we're there for 100 years or 1,000 years.
Did he explain what victory in Iraq would look like in 2013?
I think basically the vision he's got is South Korea, you know, is a functioning government, U.S. soldiers safe in their garrisons.
South Korea, it doesn't seem to me, is a very good example, only because it's not a perilous situation. Ultimately, there was the South and the North fighting. They came to a truce, and yes, the U.S. has kept like 40,000 troops there for all these years, to help enforce the peace.
But there were two clear sides.
There were two clear sides. There was a border between them. So maybe the U.S. troop presence he sees as preventive, as in the model of South Korea. I know that's what McCain meant when he originally said maybe we'll keep troops 100 years there, and that's been willfully misinterpreted by the Democrats. to mean we'll just keep fighting an active war there. But I'm not sure that the analogy actually holds up. But didn't he campaign against Mitt Romney when Romney suggested that there be even some kind of private long-range timetable for ending the war?
Yeah, actually, he did. And in fact, I mean, I think it would be...
Did we lose Ben? I think we lost. Oh, Ben, go ahead. Try again.
I had a funny connection. I mean, I think, babe, this is really a political case he's making here at this point. I mean, I think he's sort of daring Obama to try to get to the right of. I mean, he thinks his right flank is safe now in security, and he's moving very rapidly to the center. And I think, I mean, it's what he's doing on a lot of issues.
Moving to the center.
Yes. I mean, on the environment, even on marriage. Yesterday, just this ruling California. Struck down a gay marriage ban yesterday.
Yeah.
And McCain issued a very kind of temperate statement many hours later.
What did he say?
He said that he thinks it should be left to the states and doesn't think judges should do it and is in favor of same-sex, and that he in Arizona supported a ban, which lost actually. But what he did not say is we need to outlaw this, we need to stop this. With the federal government needs to intervene and pass an amendment, which he in fact voted against.
Now, on this gay marriage issue, the California Supreme Court says California's domestic partner law or civil union law, I'm not sure which it was technically, but whichever it was, does not satisfy equal protection under the law. And the ruling compared gay marriage to interracial marriage as a constitutional right at the state level. How different are the Democrats from what McCain said yesterday? How different is Obama? How different is Clinton?
They're not that different. Neither of them has actively lobbied for a ban recently in their home states or really taken a position in their home states. But I think Obama in the Illinois Senate voted for a Defense of Marriage Act. He's since reversed himself. But they all say that they're against same-sex marriage. They think marriage should be between a man and a woman, but that it also should be left to the states.
Right.
So the differences are minor.
And the Democrats, maybe even more than the Republicans are on this one, are all twisted up. Because Obama, for example, and Clinton is similar, but I have the exact quote from Obama. He says that he, quote, always believed that same-sex couples should enjoy equal rights under the law. Equal rights under the law. And he will continue to fight for civil unions, unquote. But civil unions are exactly what the court and gay rights groups reject as second-class citizenship. And Obama, like Clinton, opposes legal gay marriage per se. So the position is kind of squishy, isn't it?
It is. And actually, in Obama's statement, the language that equal rights under the law is the language of the marriage movement. And some people took it as kind of a wink and a nod, kind of a dog whistle to the gay groups that he's ultimately on their side. I mean, they're all twisted up because they support everything short of. I mean, I think they probably go beyond McCain in supporting the full package of federal rights that like immigration, things like that, that come with marriage that are not symbolic issues in many cases, tax status that are real kind of functional day to day issues.
Without the charged symbolic label of marriage.
The only difference here is that is the word marriage, I think, at this point. And although Obama and Clinton have a slightly different position, Obama would strike down the part of the opposes the part of the Defense of Marriage law that says that states don't have to recognize each other's marriages. Clinton says that's okay, and they both cast a sort of a tactical difference over what the best way to sort of move toward marriage without freaking people out is. But that's a difference.
And one last thing before you go, Ben Smith from Politico.com. The Bush comment about giving up golf for the Iraq war. He said this to your colleague at Politico, Mike Allen, right?
Mike Allen,
What exactly did he say?
I don't have the quote in front of me, but what he said was that he felt that it would have been inappropriate to play golf, as the commander-in-chief, and so he's given it up, and this was widely mocked as being this was the sacrifice that he'd made, this dramatic sacrifice.
And maybe this is why he did it. Here is a clip of Bush near the beginning of the war vowing to get the bad guys and more. Listen.
We must stop the terror. I call upon all nations to do everything they can to stop these terrorist killers. Thank you. Now watch this drive.
From August 2002, when he was just about starting to roll out the idea of a war in Iraq. And, of course, it was on the golf course. And he ended it by saying, now watch this drive. You know that clip, right?
Of course, yeah. And I don't know if that was the trigger for it. But yeah, I suspect that somebody took him aside after that and said that those weren't great optics.
So listeners, go to our website and answer the question, what besides golf should Americans give up to support our troops? And what besides golf should the president give up to support our troops at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Ben Smith from Politico.com. Just when I thought the political week had ended yesterday after, West Virginia and a few other things, yesterday was a really interesting day. So on we go.
Yeah, absolutely.
It won't be the last one.
Months and months more.
Ben, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, public radio producer and StoryCorps founder Dave Isay on the occasion of the closing of the Grand Central Terminal StoryCorps booth. We will play some of the historic highlights from the last few years.